Okay, thank you. So we'll try to do the next two verses. What happens to person who lives in sattva, who lives in rajas, who lives in tamas? We'll chant the verse number 14 and 15 and then discuss them together. Yada sattve pravriddhe tu. Pralayam yati deha bhrita. Tadottama vidam lokan. Amalan pratipadyate. Rajasi pralayam gatva. Karma sangishu jayate. Tatha pralinastamasi. Murhayo nishu jayate. So yada sattve pravriddhe. Pravriddhe means when sattva is predominant. Pralayam yati dehabhrita. Dehabhrita means this embodied soul, this individual, when it pralayam, when it goes to death, when it dies, uttam vidam lokam tad, then uttam vidam lokam. Uttam means the people who have high knowledge, very wise people, amalan, and these are people who are not only very wise but spotless, very pure. Or the lokas, or the worlds. So the world that this person will go, world does not only mean the higher heavens or all that, but even in this life, the kind of atmosphere he or she will get will be pure and spotless and wise people. So that's why even Sri Krishna says in the sixth chapter that shuchi gehe shuchi matam, you know, the people who are very pure and very wise, I send them to such homes. So what happens is that this individual can then continue his or her spiritual journey because he lived his life in a sattvic mode in this life. So people always say, you know, what is the last thought before you die? That is where you will go. It's said in one place in the eighth chapter. So people think, doesn't matter now, but when I know I'm going to die, then I'll suddenly think of God. First of all, you know, you don't know when you are going to die. But suppose even you know, your mind, if you have not thought about God, will not go to God. Like there was this story, I think I told it, but there's a different version of that. There was this man who had, businessman, you know, Sethji, who was always involved in money and saving money and earning money and all that. His whole life was thought about money. So he was very sick. And, you know, it was his last day. So he said, I want to die at home. I don't want to die in the hospital. So they brought him home with hospice. And they brought 11 pandits, you know, and they were chanting the Bhagavad Gita, you know, continuously. So they said, at least the last time he will be listening to Bhagavad Gita, his mind will be on Krishna and he will go to heaven. So he's listening to the Bhagavad Gita. It's going on. And suddenly he says, is my wife here? So wife comes, yes, darling, I'm here. Are my both sons here? Yes, they are both here. Is my daughter here? Yes, I'm here too. He says, if all of you are here, then why is the light on in the room next door? And he died. So his whole life, it's not that, I mean, to save power is good. But if that's going to be your whole thing about earning and acquiring and saving and all, the point is that what are you going to do with that money? If you are saving money or earning money, the idea is that you should use it to serve the world, to make it a better place. Because when they say that when you serve, when you give, people say, oh, I don't want to give my money, I worked hard. But at least my personal experience has been, and people who have done that, that when you give to a right organization, to the right place, with the right attitude, unselfishly, not only you get the spiritual benefit, but your financial benefit is also more because he has unlimited. So the return you get is so much more than what you give. But people have this fear, especially I think those of us who are from India, that money should not be parted with. But believe me, if you give, he will give you a lot more. But anyway, so this person, you know, you may be 11 pandits may be chanting the Bhagavad Gita, but if he has never heard the Bhagavad Gita in his life, doesn't know what it means, then that chanting is useless. The person could be chanting anything. He could be talking about the stock market in Sanskrit. It has no effect. So the idea is that when you listen to the Bhagavad Gita, that's why Swami Chinmayananda has translated it. We have these books in the office. Word by word, the Bhagavad Gita's meanings have been given, and very beautiful commentary Swamiji has done. So the idea is that one should listen to the Bhagavad Gita and then one should understand it. One should apply that. So when they say, you know, matsthani sarva bhutani na chaham teshu masvitila, these beings are in me, but I am not in them. When Krishna says that, when a person who has heard the Bhagavad Gita says, okay, that's what he's talking about, that I am that consciousness, I am not in this world. So such a person can very easily drop his body. Otherwise, the body identification is so strong. So the person doesn't benefit who is listening to the Bhagavad Gita, the person who is dying. How about the 11 pandits who are chanting? They don't benefit either, because they are only in it. They are only there. Why? Because how much am I going to get paid? If they are genuinely thinking, okay, I'm doing it for the service of the Lord, but majority of the time they are in it. Okay, now what is going to be my dakshina? And then after now with this money, I have to buy a new shirt, so I have to go to the mall. So if he's chanting with that attitude, then he does not benefit either. You say, how about at least the relatives? Do they benefit? They don't benefit either. Because why are they doing that? So that the neighbors may see. You know, see how much he cared for his old father. Because his father was dying, he brought 11 pandits to go to Swara. So I'm not saying that it is wrong to do the chanting. I don't mean that it's very good. But the attitude should be that this is for a higher, for the person to evolve. But a person, so just by last minute listening, it's not going to help. What one has to do is from today onwards, I have to change my life so that my mind remains more in sattva. I remember the Lord at every opportunity. I start my day by remembering the Lord. I pray or I meditate. And then throughout the day, I take the Lord with me. Whatever I'm doing, wherever I'm working, I keep the Lord in the back of my mind as much as I can. When I see a beautiful tree or a flower or a child smiling or the sunrise or the sunset, I remember his glory. The moon, you know, when you see the pretty moon or the stars and you see the vastness, you remember him. And constantly carry the Lord with you. Before you go to bed at night, always chant the mantra. This should be the last thought. So the idea is that when your mind remains in these sattvic thoughts throughout the day, and then that determines your next week's action, and the next week, and the next month, and the next year. So the thoughts that we have had throughout the life, they don't end. Just as what I think today will determine my actions tomorrow, and then will determine the result day after tomorrow. So my thoughts determine my actions determine the results. So these do not end at birth, at death. Death is not that, okay, everything is finished. The body is finished, but the thoughts and the emotions continue. That does not end. It's like Swamiji says in his commentary, a doctor sleeping at night, in the morning, he's not going to wake up and make a beautiful architecture drawing for the next building. No, he's going to continue to practice medicine. An engineer, when he goes to sleep at night, in the morning, he's not going to write a cure for cancer. He's going to talk about engineering. So similarly, at the time of death, it's not the end. It is just a long sleep. That's all it is. So wherever you have slept, whatever you have done, you continue that in the next life. Nothing ends at the time of death. Just the body ends. But the mind, intellect, and vasanas continue, and this individual just takes a new body where he or she continues their journey. If you have been a terrible child, believe me, the child you will get will be equally terrible or probably worse. So if you are having problems with your child, remember that you probably gave a hard time to your parents. And correspondingly, I have also found that people who take good care of their older parents, definitely the children will take care of them. If you want your children to take care of you when you get old, take care of your old parents. Call them, go see them, and treat them with love and respect. Because the children see what you're doing and they copy. So a person who lives in sattva, is born in the house of sattvic parents, where his, you know, his life continues, where he can continue his spiritual journey, he can, you know, meditate, he can pray. Like if you look at the life of Raman Maharishi, look at the life of these great saints, right from Shankaracharya ji, Bhagavan Shankaracharya, right from 7, 8, 9 years, they were already, you know, great yogis and great rishis. Why? Because they were born in such homes where they were given the right knowledge and very quickly they could take up. Like Bobby Fischer was a chess grandmaster at age 10. Nobody taught him, you know, that much. They probably gave him a chess board and he just picked up. So the point is that the life, Mozart at age 5 was composing operas. All his parents did was gave him a piano and he started playing and composing. On the internet, you have this child who is about 1.5 or 2 years old, plays beautiful tabla. Some of you might have seen that. So the point is that from previous birth, we have these qualities and we have these tendencies and they continue. So what I am today is because of my life in the past. It is again not decided by my parents, not decided by God, not decided by my neighbor or my boss. I am responsible for my own life. I am responsible for what is happening to me. And the only thing I have in my mind, in my hand is now, the present. I change my present. I live my life to the best of my ability. Then my future will be good and my future life will be also good. Not only this life, but future lifetimes. So a person who is in sattva, he goes to homes that are uttam vidam lokan, people who are wise and spotless, amalan. So not only he will go to the higher worlds, but then when he comes to this, back to this world, he will get a situation where his life will be pure and his life will be knowledgeable. So that kind of parents and that kind of life he will get. How about Rajasi? Rajasi, in verse number 15, it says, Rajasi pralayam gatva karma sangishu jayate. So Rajasi, so one who dies in Rajas, pralayam gatva, karma sangishu jayate, he is born in the house of Rajasic people. Where he comes, he finds the house, lot of money and lot of activity and everybody is out busy working. Father is out working, mother is in the country club and you know, yeah, and everybody is just busy working. And his life also becomes like that. So they say Rajasic life is like he has no brakes. As we given the example before, Tamasic guys who's driving constantly with brakes, Rajasic has no brakes. He has accelerator and that works great. But you ask him, how do you stop the car? I cannot stop the car. He's just going on and on. Workaholic. Last week we talked about morning 6 to night 10. And he's working for what? Just for me, myself and I, or my family. So his life is constantly just involved in work and acquiring and possessing and lying and cheating and hurting. And as long as I am taken care of, it does not matter what happens to the rest of the world. The rest of the world can. So karma sangishu. So he's so attached to action that work alone is the, and then like we talked last week, the end justifies the means. So my goal is to get for myself, no matter how many people I hurt, how many people I step over, how many people are destroyed in the process, it doesn't matter as long as I get what I want. So that kind of activity, that kind of passion, that kind of desire prompted activities, selfish, very selfish and very attached. Attached is, you know, not ready to give up anything to anybody, not ready to even sacrifice anything for anybody, but I, me and my, that alone matters. Even within his own family, such a person acts very selfishly, or at the most he may be caring for his family, that's about it, but beyond that never cared. So that is called Rajas. And a person who dies with Rajas, who has lived his whole life with Rajas, that's why you look at Mahatma Gandhi's life. This says when he was shot, the last words came out from his mouth was, "Hey Ram." Now that would not have happened if he had not spent his whole life thinking about God. Suddenly at the time of death, even in the Mukund Mala, it is said very beautifully. He says, O Lord, may I put my mind at your feet right now. He says, Kafavata Pitte. He says, at the time of death, I'll be choking in my saliva and I'll be, you know, not able to breathe. And at that time, I may not remember you. You know, when you are at the last death, usually it is some people go very peacefully, but some of them actually suffer where they can't breathe and they are choking in their saliva and they are drowning and it's horrible. And at that time, where you may or may not remember the Lord. So the devotee says, O Lord Krishna, let my mind, the bird of my mind, he says, come and rest at the feet, the nest which is your feet. He says that in the Mukund Mala beautifully. He says, your feet are like a nest, and let the bird of my mind come and stay right now there, so that it does not go away from it. And once my mind is at your feet, then I have no fears. Then at the time of death, also you will take care of me. So the idea is that from now on itself, we have to make our mind spiritual, make our mind religious, make our mind at the feet of the Lord, so that at the time of death, then he will take care of us. He said, you know, that Naya tumare hathe mein, you know, the boat is in your hands, now you take it. And so that kind of surrender, that kind of devotion when you have for the Lord, then he says, then I take care of such individuals. So that's why he says, a person who leaves their body in rajas, karma sangishu jayate, such a person is born in the house of very dynamic, very active, but dynamic in a selfish way, not in a positive way, not in a helping the world, but dynamic in a very, very. So the idea is that as far as possible, let me spend more time in sattva. Then he says, how about tamas? Tatha pralinas tamasi. Pralina means death in tamas. Moodha yonishu jayate. They are born in dull lower wombs. And the wombs doesn't necessarily have to be human. Could be even animal. You know, if your life has been lived with an animalistic attitude, with a lazy, not doing anything and not contributing to society, just taking from society. In Krishna, in the fourth chapter, he says, stena eva sa. He says, one who just takes from society. And even if he has worked and earned, you say, oh, I work and earn, then why should I share? No, but even when you are working and earning, there are so many people helping you in your work and earning. Not only that, but the air you are getting is free, the sunlight you are getting is free, the rainwater you are getting is free. So we are constantly taking from society. So you have a constant negative karmic debt. So how do I get over that? By positively contributing, by giving, by sharing. Because if you don't do that, then Sri Krishna says such a person is a thief. He calls that in the fourth chapter, stena. It's his word. I am not saying that. Krishna says that very clearly in the fourth chapter. So the idea being that one who only takes and does not give back, does not share, and does not help at all anybody, then lives a dull life, then such a person is born either in a lower human birth or could even be born as an animal, as a deer or as a cockroach or as a... So the choice is ours. You know, later on Sri Krishna will say that the one who dies in sattva goes up and then in the rajas he comes back to earth. But one who lives a life of tamas goes into lower wombs. So the point is that we shape our life. Nobody else decides our life. There is nobody sitting up there. You say, oh, Bhagawan ne meri wo, kya, meri kundali kharab hai, meri, my fingers, you know, all my karmas are bad, my life is bad, my hands. There is nothing in your hands. There is nothing. Nobody has written anything. You have written your own future. You have written your own life. Swami Chinmayananda says, you are the architect. And you tell God, Bhagawan, I want you to give me this kind of life and this kind of body. Bhagawan said, okay, sir, Bhagawan is just a contractor. He's not an architect. You decide your life. You said, this is the kind of life I want. He said, okay, sir, you want this life? I give it to you. So, well, why did I choose a bad life? Yes, you did by your bad actions. He does not give make anybody suffer or give anybody punishment. You, by your actions, decide your future. For that, you have to be very clear. I am the architect of my life, not God sitting anywhere. He's just the general contractor. He fulfills the plans that you have made for yourself. An architect makes the plan. The contractor only 100% follows. So there is nobody to blame. So that's why he says, pralina tamasi. He ends up in lower wombs, dull wombs, you know, maybe born as a dog or a cat or some lower worlds you are born. So that is the choice you have made. That's why it says we shape our life. We decide what happens to our life. There is a very beautiful Christmas. I know Christmas is coming. They already have Christmas decorations in the stores. It is so ridiculous. They start from September. Anyway, that's the commercialism. That's why, you know, that's why, and that's another thing about tamas. They get very easily influenced. You show him a picture of a beautiful girl, you know, then you can sell him anything. It could be a car, it could be a beer, it could be a house, it could be a clothes, doesn't matter. He just sees something and his mind. So such people are very easily deluded. That's why they say they live in moha. They don't think. You know, they just let society lead them. Okay, advertisement, it comes. Oh, this is the best beer. Okay, he'll go buy it. This is the best car. He'll buy it. So that is how we get society to influence us. Anyway, so I was talking about Scrooge. If you have read that Christmas Carol, it's a very beautiful story by Charles Dickens. And Scrooge, Ebenezer, was a very, very greedy and very selfish type of a businessman. Lived his life horribly. You know, he used to be a money lender and he will squeeze the blood out of everybody and very dishonest, very cheating and very, very exploiting people. Really a horrible individual. And so it so happened that he went to sleep at night and in the night he had a dream and his business partner Marley, who had died a few months back, comes in his dream. And he sees Marley, and Marley is in chains. You know, hands are chained, feet are chained, and he's walking like that in chains. So he says, Marley, what happened to you? He says, Scrooge, my life is in chains. He says, how did you get these chains? He says, I made them myself. He says, you made them? He says, yeah, remember, you and I are business partners, we were, and how we used to cheat people, and how we used to hurt, and how we were selfish. With each selfish action, I created one more kadi, you know, one more link of the chain. So I made these old chains myself. And you are going to have the same thing. You are going to be living your life in chains. What should I do, Marley? I don't want to live my life in chains. So then you change. You have to stop. One link at a time, you have to undo this chain. And so it's said in that story that next day, suddenly, he wakes up and, you know, he's... His servant, he gives him so much money, and then the people who couldn't afford to pay the loans, who were very poor and whom he had been cheating, he writes off the loans. And so the point is that it can change can come, but one, like she was saying, a person in tamas has to decide that what is my goal in life, what is my purpose, and I have to want to change. I have to have the desire to change. And it's very interesting that the total consciousness makes available whatever your strongest desire is. Sri Krishna says in the Gita very strongly, he says, whatever your Shraddha is, whatever your desire is, I fulfill it. You want a lot of power, I'll give you power. You want a lot of money, I'll give you money. You want a lot of success, I'll give you success. You want alcohol, I'll provide you enough alcoholics to be around you so that they help you in your alcohol. You want drugs, whatever you want, the total consciousness is here to provide it for us. If your desire is strong enough and if your actions are in that direction, you get what you want. And we tell our children also, you know, that you have to decide what you want from your life, and once you decide and you put in the right effort, you will get it, because this is a karma bhumi. It is a land of karmas where whatever actions you do, you will get the result. So the point is that one has to decide and one has to change, decide to change my life. And that is the only way to get out of this trap of tamas into rajas and then rajas into sattva, and get out of this trap of rebirth again and again. And even if I have to take birth again, why should I not come as a better individual? Let me come and help the world. Let me come back as a saint. Or let me come back as a generous person. So I have to decide in my life, when I change my life today, then only my future will change. And if God, and what I say is, you know, doesn't matter, even if I have to take 10 births or 100 births, as long as my mind is towards you, and as long as I'm growing spiritually, it doesn't matter. Some people say, I don't want to be born again, which is fine. But for that, you have to exhaust all your vasanas, your desire, which may be very difficult. So have spiritual desires for him. Instead of wanting the world, I want him. And then slowly, slowly, he will make himself available to you. That's what Sri Krishna says in the Gita also. He says there are three, four kinds of individuals. Arthi, Artharthi, Jignyasu, and Jnani. He says, Arthi, who comes to me because he is suffering. You know, some people say, oh God, I'm suffering, my child is sick or whatever, so heal me. So that is one. And others are Artharthi, who come asking me for money. They want more money, more power, a better house, better job. The third type is Jignyasu. Jignyasu means an intellectual who wants to know, are dekhen Upanishad mein likha kya hai, Bhagavad Gita mein kya hai. So he wants to know what is written in the Upanishads, what is written in the Bhagavad Gita. So he's a scholar. He becomes a professor of Sanskrit somewhere in some university, giving big discourses, but not changing his life. He's studying the Bhagavad Gita or the Upanishads to become a professor, to write a PhD thesis. Okay, so Krishna says, if that's what he wants, I give him that. But he says, Jnani are very few who come to me because they want me. So they go to this path, they go to the temple or church because they want God, they want him. So he says, those who want me, then I give myself to them. And he says, Jnani, they're all dear to me. At least they have come to me. But the Jnani is the most dear because he has come, because he wants me. He's not using me to get something else. See, if I'm using God to get money or to get power, that means God becomes the instrument and the money becomes the goal. So the money is more important than God. You say, I'm coming to the temple, but at least now give me some money, or give me this, or give me that. So then God becomes secondary, the money. But if I see you say, I've come here, temple, God, I want you. Okay, you can have me. So the point is that we can change our life. We can shape our life. And then last, I'll just end with an example of Saint Therese of Lisieux. I'm not maybe pronouncing it correctly. But she was such a wonderful saint that just like Raman Maharishi or Shankaracharya, right when she was about 5 or 6 years old, she says, I have one strong desire in my life. His parents said, what? She says, I want to become a great saint. She already knew that, right from when she was a little girl, just walking barely. She said, I want to be a great saint. And she only lived 24 years. But in 24 years, she did so much. She such a evolved that Pope Pius called her. He says, she's the greatest saint ever lived. So the point is that it's there in all the faiths. You know, people are there who are spiritual, who are evolved, but we have to make that our goal, our purpose. So thank you very much for this. If there's any comments, anything anybody would like to add on this, please.
Yet, as soon as we see God, we say, God make me do this, God help me, God. How do we relate that?
No, that is good. It's to going to God, and the moment you turn your mind to God, Swami Chinmayananda says, turn your mind in devotion to the Lord, he will purify it and return it back to you. So remembering the Lord is very good. But they say, don't only remember him as an ATM machine, you know, that I put in there and I want it. I love God, and then whatever happens, I am happy with that. So yeah, it's okay to remember and talk to God and ask him. But don't only go there when you need anything. Just talk to him even otherwise. So that is the idea. Yeah, no, definitely. Remembering God is beautiful. There's nothing wrong with that. But I should remember more in gratitude rather than asking. You know, God, thank you for all you have done for me. And I am grateful. So the gratitude is very important in our relationship with God, I find. Yeah, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Yes. No, actually, last week we had talked about that. When you have desires, you can do three things. You can express or repress or redirect. So one is express. You keep on indulging in it. That's only going to strengthen your vasana, whether you're eating or whatever, your drugs or food. So by that, you're not exhausting your, you're actually strengthening your vasana. When you indulge in whatever vasana you have, you're strengthening it. So that is wrong. The second is to suppress it. You know, I won't do it. And that you can only suppress for a while. It's like a spring. It eventually will come through. So they say this desire that you have should be redirected. So a desire to say, like, if I have a lot of greed, I want. So the turn the greed towards God. I want you. I want, like, we had talked last week. If you have done, today I've done 10 minutes meditation, tomorrow I'll do 20 minutes, then third day I'll do 30 minutes. So I'm more greedy for, or if I've been helping people, today I helped one person, tomorrow I'll help five, and then day after I'll help 10. So that your tendency of greed, your tendency of acquiring can be directed towards unselfish, towards sattvic activities, and that is how you exhaust the vasanas, by doing service and by remembering the Lord. So the exhausting the vasanas is not by expression and not by suppression, it is by redirection. Even Swami Chidananda, when he used to come, he used to say the same thing, that redirect your vasanas towards him and doing his work. That is the way. So exhausting does not mean overindulging. That will only strengthen it. Yes, it can happen. Yeah, there are people who are.
I just can't imagine that.
No, but there are people who can give talks and who are PhDs, they've studied, but it hasn't changed their life. You know, they still have all the politics, and they may be a professor in the university, but they're still jealous of the next guy who is, you know, better research paper and thing. So the human mind, unless you change, just memorizing the shlokas doesn't help you. That's why even he says, Sam prapte sam nihite kale nahi nahi rakshati dukrin karne. You may know Sanskrit grammar, but unless it changes your life, it's just useless. Shankaracharya says, Bhaj Govinda.
Not having it change your life.
Right.
Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri.